What a great reading that last one was. A bit long, but a great story. And that's why I want to stay with it for a while, actually, that one. It's been a fantastic time for different readings at this time of year. Here we are, just 2 weeks after Easter, as Marian said, and we get to enjoy all of these amazing stories of people meeting the risen Jesus. It's a fantastic time of year, a real feast, and such a range of different readings and different emotions and different actions. And I often find myself thinking, how would you do that if you were doing a film? It's not that I'm a filmmaker, but we all watch different films, you know. So I'm kind of thinking there are the little detail moments. There's the time when the camera zooms in and you see exactly where the clothes were in the tomb. This one here and that one there. It's like they noticed that. And then there is the amazing details like when Peter and John ran to the tomb. Well, John ran faster than Peter. Why do we need to know that? But we do. And I'm wondering how they would film that. Would that be some kind of Chariots of Fire slow motion? Do, 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 do. Or would they do the honky-tonk thing? Do, 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 do. Just enjoying the moment. I mean, obviously, it was important enough to people. Oh, do you remember? He ran faster than he did. Well, it's brilliant. Little details like that, which are kind of, yeah, okay, that's great. And then we get the big bits, which are completely skipped over. And you sort of say, well, what do we do with that then? Why was it then that people didn't recognize Jesus? Because they didn't. And we don't get an explanation about that, but they kind of get skipped over. When did Jesus appear to Peter? The very last line of the reading we just heard said, and he's appeared to Simon Peter. Well, we don't hear about that in the Bible, but we hear about it afterwards, people talking about it. So let's skip that bit. And then, what was it like when Jesus suddenly appeared among them, which we heard about last week, or disappeared from in front of them? Was that a moment in the film where you go, bing? Or was it a moment where they turned away and then they turned back again? Oh, he's not there anymore. No, it's we don't know these things, but it makes for fantastic imagining of how it must have been for those people. Wonderful stories that we're following at this time. And we do have a lot of different places we can read these stories from, because we have four Gospels in the Bible which all tell the story of Jesus rising from the dead, and they all tell the different parts of what happens next. And they give a different focus, and they're a bit different from each other. And if you read one Gospel or another Gospel, they're not exactly the same. And I love that, because actually, that's that sense of everybody tumbling over themselves to try and remember what went on there. Oh, the women, they got there first on that first morning. Yes, they did, but they ran away and they didn't tell anybody. No, I don't think that's what happened. Didn't they go off and tell the disciples? Oh, yeah, but nobody believed them. Oh, yeah, but Peter and John, they went. They went to the tomb, didn't they? Oh, yeah, and do you remember that John ran faster? Oh, Mary Magdalene. I think Mary Magdalene actually met Jesus first. Oh, really? I don't know. But I don't think anybody can make sense of it. No, it doesn't look like it. And then do you remember that locked room? And there we were all in that locked room. And we were all gathered together. And we were all frightened. And then suddenly Jesus appeared in the middle of us. It's like you get all these wonderful little bits from different points of view. And it just goes to show that Jesus appeared and really blew everybody's minds, and trying to make sense of exactly how it worked after the event. It's just still a bit of a tumble, because it's such a wonderful thing that happened, such an amazing thing that happened. And I think for me, it just makes it all the more real. It's not all completely sewn up. This is the official story and that's it. This is four different versions of people saying, oh, it happened like it was quite amazing, quite wonderful. And the evidence that it's real is that we're here now, and that so many people know Jesus for themselves now. So we have these great readings, and as we in the Church of England look at the time after Easter, there's this thing called the lectionary, which has different readings that we use. So sometimes we use it, and after Easter we're given these readings from the people who just first meet Jesus. And alongside it, we're given readings from the Acts of the Apostles, which was our first reading. And so those readings are about when the disciples later started telling people about Jesus, and the big impact that had, 3,000 people in one day being totally blown away by this. So the stories from Acts tell us what happened next. The stories that we read in the Gospels tell us what was happening at the time. And I want to focus on that one today. So here we are this year, and every year there's three cycles of years where we have different readings. And so in this year, and we'll do it again in 3 years' time, there's the reading on Easter Sunday, if you were there. We heard from Matthew's Gospel. And in Matthew's Gospel, you've got the women going to the tomb. They're not named, but it's like at the moment that the resurrection happened, because there was a violent earthquake and because the stone rolled away. And there was the angel there and then saying, go and tell the disciples. And as they go off, so they meet Jesus. Wow, it's all happening just there and then. That's what we see in Matthew's Gospel. And then last week, we had a different reading, and this was about this time in the room where they all locked themselves away. It was not that morning, it was that evening. And they're thinking, what's gone on here? We're hearing messages from some people who are saying some things, but we don't know what we can believe. And you don't just say somebody's alive again when they died. We know he died. So there, they're locked in the room, and then suddenly Jesus appears among them. And then in that version of the story, when you're reading from John's Gospel, then it goes on ahead, and suddenly you're a week later. And they're saying, and that time, Thomas was with them. And this Thomas, who had said, I can't believe that. Nobody dead comes to life like that. Thomas gets to meet Jesus, and he believes what's happened. So that took us last week to be over a week on in the story. So where do we find ourselves this week? Well, actually, we've gone right the way back again. We're reading from Luke's Gospel, and this would be, if it was a film, this would be a time when you had one of those captions. It would say, Sunday afternoon, near Jerusalem. And this is a different stage altogether. We're with people who haven't yet got the whole picture. People who haven't yet met Jesus. People who are actually walking along away from Jerusalem, slumped, heads bowed, because it's all gone wrong. And they can't make sense of it. So that's where we start. And we've got these two people walking along. Now, who are they? We say they are two of the disciples. Well, a bit later on, we discover it's Cleopas, one of them. The other one never gets a name. So you could imagine these two blokes, Cleopas and his mate. But here's another option. When we read in John's Gospel about Jesus dying on the cross, John says that there were some women who were standing around the cross. And he says it was Jesus' mother and his mother's sister and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now, Cleopas, Clopas, spelling of things which weren't particularly written down in those days, could well be the same person. So we could well have Cleopas and his wife Mary, who were the two people walking along, heading home. That's quite possibly what they were doing. So if you want to, you can follow this in your Bibles, because I'm just going to, I probably won't manage to stick to it properly, but I'm trying to work my way through the verses one at a time, or bit at a time anyway. And so we're in chapter 24 and starting at verse 13, and it's on page 1061, because it's a big Bible that you've got there. So here we are. They are, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, if you want to know what 7 miles from Jerusalem meant, do you know where IKEA is? They were walking from here to IKEA. That's basically what they were doing, that sort of a distance. So that's where they were headed. Off they go from Jerusalem to IKEA, to Emmaus. And they were deep in conversation. They were talking about what had happened. They were trying to make sense of what happened. And you get this wonderful feeling that suddenly there's somebody walking with them, but they're so intensely talking, they don't particularly realise. And it's Jesus himself. And he came and he walked with them. And they were kept from recognising him. How did that work? I have no idea. But there was this sense that Jesus, when he rose again, you didn't always recognise him straight away. We had Mary earlier on in John's Gospel. We had Mary Magdalene at the tomb meeting it was the angels first, and then she met the man she thought would be the gardener. No, that turned out to be Jesus. But it took a moment. It took him saying, Mary, and then she got it. And then later on from this, we get all the disciples in a boat. They're thinking, what should we do with ourselves? Let's go back fishing again. So they go off fishing, and there's a man walking along by the side of the lake. And nobody knows who it is. And he says, throw the net in the other side. And they go, oh, what do you know? You're walking on the land. We're fishermen. But then suddenly the net's full of fish. And then Peter goes, oh, it's the Lord. It's like, and even then, when they go and have a barbecue breakfast with him a bit later, it's like they're saying, it says, none of them dared ask him who he was because they were sure it was Jesus. But even then, they weren't absolutely sure. So there's this thing where people, after Jesus rose again, they didn't immediately recognize him. that's the best we get. But yeah, there's something going on there. So they were really deep in conversation. They were puzzling over it all. They were upset by it all. And then this person comes along and walks with them. They didn't recognize it, but he says, "What's going on then?" And they say, "Hang on a second, you must be the only person who's visiting Jerusalem who doesn't realise what's going on." How can you say what's going on then? So he says, "All right, then tell us all about it." I can just imagine Jesus saying, "Okay then, tell me about it. He's like, let me hear what you've seen." I mean, it's great because actually Jesus asks them to tell the story from their point of view, and then he will be ready to just transform that story from his point of view, which is coming up in a few verses' time. And so there's Cleopas, and he says, "Well, there is Jesus. And Jesus of Nazareth was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped that this has happened, this would happen, but no, in the end, he's been crucified, and that was 3 days ago now." And then something very strange has happened, because some of our people have come back. Some women have said that the body wasn't there anymore, and they've seen a vision of angels saying that Jesus is alive. We can't make sense of that, but some of our lot went back and had a look, and sure enough, the body isn't there, but they didn't see Jesus. So that's where Cleopas and maybe Mary are as they walk back. "We knew he died. We were there. We knew he was buried, and we are really gutted, because all our hopes have been dashed." And then there's these weird stories coming around, which we can't make sense of, and we trust these people, but we can't really say that surely they're visions of angels, that just doesn't fit. Nobody's yet seen Jesus, we can't believe this. So that's where they are. And then in our version of the Bible, Jesus responds, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken." It's quite daring as a stranger to walk along with some people, say, "Tell us your story," and then to go, "Oh, how foolish you are." Actually, it's even worse or better, depending which way you look at it, in the version of the Bible called The Message, which is a guy called Eugene Peterson, real theologian who loves language, and he's worked with this version of the Bible, which puts it into sort of how we might say it. And in that one, Jesus says, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all the prophets have said?" Ba-boom. I think they're listening at that point. Okay, what's coming next? And so then we have the best sermon that nobody went and recorded. Why didn't they have a dictaphone there and go, "Oh, he's talking, let's just record this"? No, in the end, what we hear is that Jesus went through the whole of the scriptures, which would be the Old Testament in those days, and told them all about himself, all about the Messiah through the scriptures. He wouldn't have been going, "Let's turn to Hezekiah chapter 57, verse 3, and there you will see a little note that says that the Messiah must die and rise again." No, he was going through the whole thing. He was saying right from the beginning, the law and the prophets and all of that, there's a Messiah coming. This is how you can see. This is what it means. This is how it shows. There's a Messiah coming. And that Messiah, though you might hope the Messiah is going to be somebody who kind of rides into battle, smites the Romans, wins the victory like that and redeems Israel, actually, this is a Messiah who will suffer and who will die, but on the third day will rise again. He shows them that through looking at the Old Testament, how fantastic that is. The thing is that people are looking for a saviour who will redeem Israel from suffering. And actually what he shows them is there is a saviour. The saviour will redeem Israel through suffering. And not just redeem Israel, but redeem the whole world through suffering. And that's what Jesus has just done. And what the disciples and Christians after them slowly have been working out as a general idea and for themselves as well, that they are saved. And as this is all going on, suddenly they've reached IKEA. "Oh, we're home," they say. "Won't you come in? Oh, I'm going on." "Oh, please, please." So wonderful hospitality. They invite him into what I like to think is Cleopas and Mary's home. And they put a meal in front of him. And then he goes and grabs the bread and he breaks the bread and he starts giving it out to them. That's a bit kind of, hang on a second. But then there's a moment where they go, "Ah, we've just worked out what this is, who this is." And I like to see it that they go, they look at each other and then they look back and he's not there anymore. I don't know. It's like, wow, but we know who that was. Aren't we thick? Well, they didn't say that. They said, weren't our hearts burning within us as we walked along the road, as he opened the scriptures to us? They knew something was going on. They knew something amazing was happening on the road, but they've only just now worked out why. It's because this is Jesus we've been walking with all this time. So, what do? They say, we're walking from IKEA to Ripley, in the dark, back again. We're going back to Jerusalem. We've just walked here. We said it's late, you must come in. But at that late hour, they're so excited that they just go and walk all the way back again. Or run, or I don't know, borrow a donkey, whatever it might have taken. Back they go to Jerusalem because it's so exciting, they want to tell everybody else about it. And they arrive and discover in this room that there's all a bunch of other people there, but the people there are also really excited. He is alive. He's appeared to Simon. What is it? It needs to appear to Simon before they believe it. There's other women that are saying, yes, we've seen him. They're going, yeah, go on, Simon, tell them what we told you already. But anyway, and they go, yes, we have as well. We've seen him. We've seen him. He walked with us on the road. We've just heard the best sermon that we forgot to write down. It's just fantastic. They are just so excited because they've met with Jesus. And that's where we leave them. Actually, a few moments later, if we kept reading, Jesus appears among them again and eats some fish just to prove he's not a ghost. So there we go. But it's a fantastic story. And really one of the best bits of unfolding story that Luke writes in his gospel. Just fantastic to read. Really good to have. And really significant stuff going on there. There's a bishop, probably now no longer an active bishop, called Tom Wright, who's a real thinker and a Bible scholar, and he writes on passages from the Bible. And what he said about this passage, and part of what he says is, do you see in that there's a pattern for so many people's Christian experience? Because at the beginning of this, you've got two people walking along who have lost all hope. They are deeply sad. They are disappointed. All the human hope they had has been dashed. Their lives have just been ruined. That's where they are. And that's so often where people are when Jesus meets them. And then they find that there's somebody walking with them. They're prepared to see whether this person may be able to help. Now, sometimes people in their Christian experience will pray. They're not really sure who they're praying to. But they think, I've got to reach out somehow. Or they'll come to church without really knowing God yet, without knowing Jesus. But they'll come and they'll be listening. So in a sense, listening to Jesus, that's the next step that these two took. And then they discovered that in the Bible, there were wonderful keys that unlocked things that they hadn't understood, that they gradually see how it all fitted together, that this truth was laid out in front of them, that they were given answers to questions that they had from in the Bible. Well, what a wonderful thing that was for them. And how often that is the case for people as they meet the Bible and start reading it, or read it again 30 years in, and find again that they're discovering the truth, the saving word of God. So that's a part of it again. And then there is a moment for those two disciples, a moment when they say, wow, this is Jesus. We've just met him and our lives have just turned upside down. So much so, we're going to walk back 7 miles to Jerusalem to let people know about it. Well, that's a moment that people often have. They suddenly say, yes, I've got it. It's about Jesus. And he's just turned my life upside down, the right way up. They're just met Jesus. He's made all the difference. That's what's going on here in this passage. And that's what goes on in many people's Christian lives and in the breaking of bread. Actually, for many Christians, receiving communion is a real connection moment with God. In the breaking of the bread, that's when the disciples realized it's Jesus. And in the breaking of the bread, which we do at communion services quite often, there are many Christians who would say that is one of their moments when they most connect with God. So it's a story which is fabulous, and it's a story which is a bit like the way in which we can meet with God ourselves. And that's kind of it for today, except to just go back over, there are so many different stories about people meeting Jesus, and it works in different ways. And you've got so many people who heard later, and in the Acts story, the reaction of people was they were cut to the heart. Sometimes that happens. Or in the meeting people just after Jesus rose again, he said, "Don't be afraid, peace be with you," because that happened. And others, it's like, wow, this is amazing. There are lots of different ways of meeting with God, meeting with Jesus. And I pray that if you are looking to meet with the risen Jesus, the life changer, the one who can transform you, I pray that you'll find him at this time. And if you know people who need their lives transformed and you're praying that they would have that freedom, find that way forward, they'll find it in Jesus. Just keep praying, keep hoping because of these stories. Some people got it straight away. Some people walked all the way from Ripley to IKEA without realizing who they were walking with, but then they got it afterwards. If you've been praying for somebody for a really long time, you know, keep the hope. Because actually, God will, at the right moment, their eyes will be opened. God will be there for them. So, if you're looking for Jesus, I pray you'll find him. If you're looking in the Bible, I pray that it'll be like Jesus walking alongside you, that the Spirit will open up to you what it means and what a difference it can make to your life. And if you have known Jesus already, I pray that at this time, you will find that the joy of that stirs up so that you've got something of that joy that Cleopas and Mary had that meant that they went straight back to Jerusalem through the dark because it was that good. I pray that that will be stirred up in you again. And here we are. We're about, after Easter, wonderful time to celebrate. We're about to have that time that we just saw the video about where the church across the world is going to be praying. Praying that we will know God better, praying that other people will get to know God better, praying that the world will be changed. Well, what a time to be celebrating for ourselves and finding again for ourselves all that it means to be followers of Jesus. And what a time to be praying faithfully that other people will meet Jesus too and their lives will be transformed. So I pray that for you. I pray that for those you care about. Let's look to Jesus and let's find the joy and the transformed lives that he will give us, because he is the hope of the world. He is the light of the world. He is the one who's risen from the dead. Amen.